Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Could creating the life of your dreams be as easy as taking a quantum jump? Well, believe it or not, the latest quantum technologies have opened the door to a new science of instant transformation, where in a heartbeat we can become healthier, smarter, and more confident with better vision, stronger willpower, and happier and more abundant lives. According to author, transformational speaker, and founder of the internationally popular Reality Shifters website and newsletter, Cynthia Sue Larson, we now exist in a holographic multiverse in which we can literally jump from one parallel universe to another. So, how do we do that? And more importantly, why would we want to? These are just two of the questions that I'll be discussing with Cynthia Sue Larson tonight. Cynthia Sue Larson, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Such a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Cynthia, before we delve into some of the fascinating subjects covered in your book, Quantum Jumps, An Extraordinary Science of Happiness and Prosperity, I just want to share a little of your background with our listeners so they can appreciate how well qualified you are in this arena. You hold a BA degree in physics from UC Berkeley and an MBA degree from San Francisco State University. You've been researching, writing, and teaching about the science of spirituality and how consciousness changes the physical world for many years. You've been featured in numerous TV and radio shows, including the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, Coast to Coast AM, and the BBC. And you're a best-selling author who's presented papers at international conferences on science, spirituality and consciousness. And with that established, the obvious first question has to be, where did this passion for research in science, spirituality and consciousness begin for you?
Well, it started early in life when I guess I was one of those children that was unusual in the sense that I focused a lot on consciousness as a child even, and I was very sensitive, so I was tuned into things that other people were not necessarily picking up on, such as energies in the room and things going on that aren't quite visible that a lot of people don't see. And obviously, that combined with the fact that my parents every year would take my sister and I traveling to some of the most remote places on Earth, often very high energy spiritual locations, unbeknownst to my parents. I don't know that they had that in mind as the goal, but what it ended up doing was further enhancing my focus on consciousness, really, as a topic of, what is reality and what's going on. Because as a child traveling to all these exotic locales, often places that had never seen Westerners, they'd never seen Caucasians, people with white skin, blonde hair, people would come up and touch me just to see if I was real. And I would notice that I could understand what's going on, even without knowing their language, and even though cultures were very different. So I think early on, I just had this amazing fascination with how do we have this idea of what's real? How do we agree on it? And what's really going on here? So that led me to study physics and get some answers as best I could.
So did your parents encourage this kind of exploration and the conversations about consciousness?
Not per se, not exactly, but they did encourage scientific curiosity, very much so. And turns out my father is quite fascinated with physics, especially quantum physics. And so now we have wonderful conversations. But growing up, I think there was more of a classical training, if you will, for me, provided by my parents as far as what they knew about just regular classical physics. Quantum physics was relatively new. When I was born in the 1960s, even then, even though quantum physics had been around for 60 years, it was not yet commonly covered fully in schools and definitely was not part of my childhood education. It was something I learned once I got to UC Berkeley and was studying physics.
So quantum jumping, how do we do it, and what are the benefits?
Yes, well, basically my premise is that what I point out in my book, Quantum Jumps, is that it's a lot more normal. It's like breathing. It's something we all can do. And actually, I would just say we are all doing it pretty much all the time. And then just as with breathing, you can become conscious of your breathing and work with it. And as we know from a lot of our current research in breathing, you can gain phenomenal benefits, such as lengthening your life and increasing your brain cells and so forth. And quantum jumping is similar. It's something that what it is, it's the ability to, first of all, recognize that there could be a number of various possible realities that we're moving between all the time. This is very different sort of a concept than most of us were raised with, but as I was mentioning, it's something that we start considering when we look at quantum physics, and now we've reached the point in time when we're in the quantum age, and for the first time, a majority of physicists surveyed will assert that you and I and every physical thing exists in a superposition of states. That means that there's this version of me that's talking to you right now, and there are many other possible versions of me, possible versions of you, with just slight differences and sometimes huge differences. And what this provides us with is the opportunity, once we know that, to get a little bit of science behind this concept of what's been called faking it till you make it. That's one way that we've heard about this. The power of positive thinking is another way we've heard about it. In the field of social psychology and positive psychology, we now from Harvard University are hearing about power poses and so forth. And so it's just this amazing, wonderful, delightful convergence of many different types of social sciences coming together, including placebo effects, bringing us all sorts of benefits of being able to recognize, okay, if all these possible realities are out there, then it can be possible to make a jump to a more confident version of oneself, a stronger version of oneself, a version of oneself that has more flexibility, more creativity, more advantageous behavioral possibilities and relationship benefits and so forth. Pretty much anything you can imagine is possible. And you can imagine there's another version of you that's so-called out there that you can make a jump to just through consciousness, knowing that you're connected to all of these possible versions of yourself.
So when you're jumping to something, engaging with another you or another reality that you'd like to experience, obvious question is there any danger that you can get stuck there?
Well, my premise, again, is that we're moving on a subconscious basis all the time. So in my humble opinion, we don't ever get stuck. That would mean, I'm the first one to admit, I'm an optimist. So I believe that we're never stuck. We're moving. I think the one thing that is definitely true is that we're all changing. We can see it as we get older in age. And so if we're changing, then we're not stuck by definition. And so when people think, well, we're stuck in this reality, I would say not necessarily. And this is the reason I've been publishing firsthand reports from people who have experienced alternate realities through such things as reality shifts and quantum jumps. When they share their experiences, then it helps all of us who read these firsthand reports open our minds to what's possible. And then when we open our minds to what's possible, we're not wearing those blinders, and we can start experiencing benefits from jumping into a more positive reality.
So if I understand you right, then we're all quantum jumping all the time, but we don't think about it. We don't, we're not doing it necessarily consciously.
Yes, just like when you breathe, you don't need to think about every breath. But if you want to start thinking about every breath, you can, for example, extend the length of your inhalations and then match that to how long your exhalation is and start getting some advantages from breathing more deeply and slowly. And it's very similar with quantum jumping.
So there's consciousness play a part in conscious quantum jumping? I mean, does our level of consciousness dictate how easy it is for us to quantum jump?
Good question, and the answer is yes, it does. And this is why some of our top-notch, first-rate quantum jumpers are people like athletes. Those would be some of our gold medal-winning Olympic athletes, some of our top business people, pretty much leaders in every field, and people who do meditation are very good at it. People who've had near-death experiences tend to be very good at it. Lucid dreamers, these are the kind of people who are attaining a relaxed, detached, peaceful mental state. So it's just like going into a daydream, but still being awake. And that state of mind is absolutely important. It's the first step to making a quantum jump.
How do we know whether we're actually jumping into another parallel reality or it's just our imagination?
That's a good question, too. And for a lot of people, the difference is hard to tell. For those of us who've, I include myself in this, when you've experienced something just so mind-blowing that there's no conceivable normal explanation for what just happened, then people who've witnessed something inexplicable otherwise, such as an instantaneous complete healing, complete remission of a disease, a complete healing of a broken bone, complete healing of a wound. I've had a flat tire be completely repaired with, I didn't do anything, it was just completely fixed. That sort of thing. When you've experienced something like that, then you know. But sometimes it's much more subtle.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with best-selling author, speaker, and founder of the Reality Shifters website and newsletter, Cynthia Sue Larson, about how we can instantly transform our life with quantum jumping. We'll be back after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Cynthia Sue Larson, I've long been absolutely fascinated by the placebo effect, and I was surprised that nobody seemed to be motivated to study it. But you say that there's some serious research underway now. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, there are some amazing studies happening right now. In fact, there's an entire new placebo study center at Harvard University, and I'm glad to hear about that too, because like you, I've been wondering if we've got something as powerful as the placebo, which is just, it means I shall please in Latin. It comes from the Latin language. Then why are we not using it? And for people who don't know what it is we're talking about, the first time that placebos were noted to be extraordinarily powerful came right about the time of the World War, when soldiers needed pain treatment, but there was nothing available for them because the supplies had run out. Of course, doctors wanted to be able to do something to provide relief, and so what they thought, they came up with the idea that what they could do is provide a saline salt solution in water in just a basic, just like if they're giving a shot in a syringe, and it looks like it's something, and the soldiers on the battlefield, fortunately, were able to benefit from this battlefield medicine, which was pure placebo. And the thing that's amazing about this is that something that has no known medicinal value can often provide benefits of anywhere from 25 to commonly 35 or even 40% efficacy for pain relief, for mobility, for relief from things like depression and so forth. And it's not just saltwater solution, but other forms of placebos are also being tested at, for example, that Harvard-affiliated program in placebo studies and the therapeutic encounter. And that center is called PIPS. It's based at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, Massachusetts. And as far as I know, it's the first multidisciplinary institute fully dedicated to focus entirely on how the placebo effect works. And some of the preliminary findings that they're making there are that there's a connection between the most successful placebo treatments and endorphins, for example. And what's interesting about that is because endorphins by themselves do not fully explain the tremendous power and positive results of the placebo. And so to sort that out and figure out which components are most efficacious, well, that's what the study center is all about. And so there has been some stigma, I believe, to that word placebo. And maybe that's been part of the reason that we haven't seen as much progress as one would hope since the 1940s till now, because quite a bit of time has elapsed, and we would have hoped that a great deal of research would have occurred. But instead, some people make fun of it and say, well, that's just the placebo, without recognizing the true fact of the matter, which is that there has been basically a doubling of efficacy in the placebo response just since the 1980s. And that means the placebo used to be registering with some sort of efficacy around 20-something percent, and now it's routinely hitting the 40% mark. And that's extraordinary, because it's harder and harder for the people who are testing drugs and that sort of thing to be able to beat the placebo. And
you know,
it's even... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was really amused in the book you cite, a 2008 study reported in the New England Journal of Medicine, which showed that even people who knew they were getting placebo, people, you know, patients with osteoarthritis, actually reported, you know, pain relief.
Yes, absolutely. And so people that know that they're getting it, I think that's quite telling when you can give someone a placebo and they also benefit from having that placebo. And I know that would be true for myself too, just because I know from, it's the thing I was talking about earlier, when you've opened your mind to the awareness that these things can happen, that reality shifts and quantum jumps do occur. And it also, another success factor, it comes from faith, and people that have some kind of faith and a belief that they will get better, that attitude also gives a tremendous boost. And so then you can hit something like 75% efficacy for placebo recipients, even when they know they're getting that placebo. That is truly extraordinary, because they know they're getting something that has no known benefit, and they can improve anyway. And it's, I think that, like you said, this is something that we need to sit up and pay attention to, because for people that are suffering from pain, placebos are being proven tremendously successful. And for people who've had problems that they used to think they needed surgery for, that would include arthroscopic knee surgery, this is another area that placebo surgery, or so-called sham surgery, has been extraordinarily successful for. And I think that all these areas, in addition to some of the other ones I mentioned in my book, Quantum Jumps, including vision and the ability to do well when taking tests, these are things that a lot of us need help with. We need help with our vision as we get older. And anybody who's taking classes in school probably would love to get some benefit from test taking. And the simple instructions that you can even give yourself, you've got this, you're going to do great. This has been proven to boost the people who receive that verbal encouragement. Their scores definitely go up again, something in the neighborhood of 35 to 40%.
So like the power of affirmations. You know, I'd like you to share with us one of the stories that you relate in your book, Quantum Jump, about the person who actually tried to commit suicide using a placebo.
Okay, yeah, this brings up, suicide is sort of a dark topic, and, obviously it's not something that I would normally want to, I'm trying to remember which, I think I mentioned suicide just once or twice. I usually don't bring up negative things in the book, Quantum Jumps. I try to keep it completely positive, but you're right, there was a case when a patient, I think you're thinking of the person who was in a trial for antidepressant medication, and they took 26 of those placebo pills. I should back up here. When people are in a placebo group, usually it's a double or triple blind study. And what that means is the person who is receiving either the drug or the placebo, they do not know which group that they're in. They don't know if the pills they're taking are the placebo or the actual antidepressant pharmaceutical medication. And so if it's a case where the person giving the placebo or the medication also doesn't know, then that's double blind, and then it's a triple blind if pretty much everybody involved doesn't know. And you may think, how can you even do that? Well, it's just a matter of following experimental procedures so that the system that sorts it all out is a trusted computer system, for example, that can put the people and the doctors and the medicine into the correct groups. So anyway, the story occurred where the person who was in the study, the placebo trial, I'm sure they didn't know they were getting placebos pills, but they took a large number, I think something like 26 of these placebo pills, thinking that this would kill them. And even though the placebo pills, remember, these are placebo pills. Often it has some inert ingredient like salt or sugar. Might give you a little bit of some sort of a rush, but it won't have any sort of a lethal effect as far as we know. And there's no active ingredient. But that person, his blood pressure just plummeted to extremely low levels just through the belief that he was taking very active antidepressant medication. So it's this is what I would call sort of a dark story in the sense that it's what you might call a nocebo effect, which is the negative or dark side of receiving a placebo. So if you believe in side effects, then you would believe you're getting that too.
Mm. You first wrote and talked about quantum jumps between parallel realities in your reality shifting workshops back in the 1990s. How did people respond to this notion back then and the difference now? You say that more people are beginning to believe in certain things.
Yes, I have been tracking this phenomenon since the 1990s. And one of the things that I have done a couple of times is completed surveys to show how people are actually experiencing this phenomenon. And through a series of questions that I gave to a very large group both times in the year 2000 and in the year 2013, I polled people to find out what percentages of the general populace are noticing things like synchronicity and coincidences, which is extremely high. It's in the mid-90 percentiles. And then things that are much less common that you wouldn't think people would notice, like time slowing down, stopping, and speeding up. Actually, that's gone up. In the year 2000, 86% of the respondents said that they noticed that. By 2013, it was up to 90%. And then things like finding parking places where you need them, that's pretty high. It was about 78% in the year 2000. It's gone up to 83% in 2013. And then because I'm researching the subject and I like to get into really odd things, I was asking questions about people noticing things moving without being touched. That's gone up as well. 55% of the respondents noticed that in 2000. It's gone up to 57%. That's almost two-thirds by 2013. And gradual increases in other areas as well. So we're noticing just in a period of 13 years, a lot of these different questions and areas that I was checking into are definitely on the uptick, and people are noticing even things like business hours changing, doors locking and unlocking by themselves, you know, and I told you really odd things such as teleporting objects and people, plants, and animals disappearing. That's actually stayed pretty steady at 33% both times that I ran the survey. And then I've got a very odd one here, seeing dead people and animals alive again. And you may think, good heavens, why would we even look at that? But that turns out to have been the fastest growth area in this whole phenomenon. And it's gone. I didn't track the question in 2000 per se, although I had done separate studies at that point about people, which celebrities and so forth were noticed most often being reported alive again. In 2013, 27% of the respondents mentioned that they, yes, they have seen dead people and animals alive again.
So what do you deduce from that?
Well, as I said, what's significant here, people may have heard of this term Mandela effect. This is giving this entire phenomenon a breath of fresh air and fresh life. That term was coined in the year 2010 when a blogger named Fiona Broom went to a conference and noticed while she was there that a whole bunch of people had believed that Nelson Mandela had died, and they were all surprised to find he was alive in 2010. And so that's how this Mandela effect was coined, basically just after exactly this topic of a dead person being alive again. And this is something I've been tracking since my book Reality Shifts was published in the 1990s. At that time, I mentioned Larry Hagman, who was in I Dream of Jeannie and the TV show Dallas. Mm-hmm. And he was someone that a lot of people, including myself, had seen dead of cancer and then surprisingly back alive again. Always a good thing when it's someone that we love who's a celebrity. But it's something that if the celebrity themselves hears about it, then they think it's a bit odd. Like Willie Nelson has written a song about it because he basically is saying that he's still here.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with science and consciousness researcher, speaker, and best-selling author Cynthia Sue Larson about quantum jumping and the science of instant transformation. After the break, quantum jumping out of sickness or injury and an exercise to help you achieve real change in your life. We'll be back in a few moments.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Cynthia Sue Larson, quantum jumping out of sickness, injury, finding lost things and getting money. Tell us about that, and what tips do you have to offer listeners?
Well, one of the first things is as I keep mentioning throughout, is to just have your mind open to the idea that there could already be versions of you who are what you would consider more confident, more successful, stronger, smarter, have more friends, more positive relationships, be happier, more effective, all these good things. Pretty much anything that you can imagine, you can have. And so I think that's the starting point, is just start opening your mind. And the other big thing that I would recommend that's a lot of people have a blind spot here, is to really focus on the positive, to become more of what you might think of as an optimist. Focus on good news. And this may seem challenging if you have this addiction to turning on TV or just browsing whatever's currently happening in politics, and you might get all worked up and upset every day. I would recommend changing some of your habits there, and not because you're putting your head in the sand, but instead because it's one of the ways that you can start steering things in a more positive direction. And it is proven scientifically to basically focus on the positive. And the reason I say it's scientifically proven is because the work of Professor Dr. Suzanne Segerstrom, for example, who was working at the University of Kentucky, and she explains, as I point out in my book Quantum Jumps, that we can find important ways to grow in a positive way when life brings us those proverbial lemons. And the way we can do it is to get a grip on the uncontrollable stressors that come through life. And you can do it by just having a positive intention, such as, I look for something good in what is happening. I try to see it in a different light, make it seem more positive, and I came out of this experience better than when I went in. And this is the way that even someone who might think they're practical or a pessimist can learn to become an optimist. And once again, believe it or not, Dr. Segerstrom recommends, like I do, fake optimism until you actually become optimistic. You may think that sounds crazy, but you can do it. Just pursue goals, and some goals are better than others. You might want to choose your own goals rather than pick something someone gave you, because usually when you're going to feel happier when you pursue a goal that helps you grow, have more meaningful relationships, and contribute to society. And people are less happy when they're pursuing goals that are just focusing on surface things like being rich, popular, famous, or attractive, because those, even though they sound good, might not be so meaningful on a personal level to you. And so this would be just a basic thing that you can do. And a practical way to do it is change your habits about how you check the news. There are some good positive news sites. And so if you love checking news on the computer all the time, just change it up a little bit. Get things that don't make you so crazy when you see the news feed coming in.
Well, it's, you know, hard to verify if somebody says, you know, oh, I was quantum jumping and I found this thing that I'd lost, or I quantum jumped to get money and, well, lo and behold, you know, there it was. It's really hard to say whether that is just coincidence or, you know, fact. But the thing that is pretty irrefutable are the people who are quantum jumping out of injury. And you have stories about those on your website and in your book. What's the most extraordinary one there that you've heard?
Well, there have been some real doozies there, and I think it's hard to pick just one. I'm personally always most impressed when there are examples of people who are seeing some kind of an oncoming vehicle, and they're able to, just at the last minute, seemingly, you know, because this truck is bearing down on them, for example, and they're able to just be sort of teleported to safety. This I think, is quite remarkable, and I think it's one of the things that can really inspire people, you know, to know that even in a situation where you feel like you're about to die, that's even not necessarily true. And I like to mention that so people know, because it may seem absolutely impossible. But I've heard this report, actually, you may think it's crazy or just one or two people would experience it. I've heard from dozens of people who've actually had a fast-moving car or truck coming head-on toward them, maybe coming on in such a position on the road where their vehicle is stuck and can't move, or it's coming head-to-head, and there's just no time to maneuver, nowhere to go. And a split second later, either the oncoming vehicle has completely vanished or is now just on the other side of them with no trace of a crash, no sound of a crash. And then the third possibility is sometimes these people are instantaneously transported to safety. And so I'm mentioning this as a general category because I've heard from dozens of people that have gone through this. And the reason I said early in the interview today on the show that what I believe is happening is that we're experiencing quantum effects on a large scale. And this is something that we see in the so-called quote-unquote quantum realm, where we notice a quantum particle can just tunnel, they call it tunneling through from one side of something to another, that a quantum particle can teleport. And indeed, we're noticing exactly the sort of behavior sometimes at the moment when we most need it in our regular, well, not a regular moment in a life, but it's an extraordinary moment when a person is about to die. They know it. They know there's no way they could survive having a Mack truck coming head on at them or about to T-bone their vehicle from the side. And suddenly that vehicle, that oncoming vehicle, is completely gone, or it's on the other side of them, or they have been teleported. And I think it's very powerful to hear that this experience happens so often. In fact, I got another report just this week from a young woman who's been through that exact experience. And in her case, the car completely vanished. And these are people that don't hallucinate. They're not doing drugs. Very often, they're lawyers, doctors, high members of governments around the world. It's not something that only happens in Berkeley, California, which some people call Berserkly. No, it's happening everywhere. And I just think it's so powerful for people to know that no matter what it looks like, just keep asking yourself and asking the universe, how good can it get? And chances are you're going to find out. And in that moment, there's no doubt that you've gone through what we would call a quantum jump, for sure.
Now, your book, Quantum Jump, offers a number of practical tools and exercises to help us experience some of what we've been discussing. We've got about 5 minutes before the break. Is that time for you to share one of those exercises with us now?
Yes, that's perfect. So let's go ahead, and if you're not operating heavy machinery, go ahead and close your eyes, hopefully if it's safe to do so, those of us who are listening. Just take a deep breath, inhale, and then exhale. Just relax. You can stretch yourself, move your arms and legs a little bit, get comfortable. And then focus on your breathing and slow it down just a little bit so you can feel that you're exhaling deeply and fully. And then inhaling deeply and fully. And as you're slowing your breathing down to a comfortable rhythm that feels good for you, nice, slow, deep breaths all the way down to your lower abdomen, just really breathe deeply. This is how babies breathe. It's how Qigong masters, yoga masters, and martial arts masters breathe. And it's a way to practice it just a little bit here. And as you're, just clear your mind of all the chaos of daily life, and all the clutter of your normal thoughts, and imagine that there is a possibility that every decision point in your life so far, there are other possible yous living out every single other path that you could have taken at every decision point. Visualize how many of those other possible yous have gained tremendous strength, courage, confidence, wealth, happiness, and health. Imagine that you can live a happier, more prosperous life by making a leap into the realities in which you have those qualities you'd most like to have. And each time you make a choice and take an action, you're making a quantum jump. Just keep breathing deeply and slowly, visualizing these other possible yous. And now as you're picturing all these possibilities, think about something that hasn't happened yet that might come true. And if you're thinking it might be something that you're a little worried about, sometimes we have mixed feelings, that's okay. Just take a moment, get a clear sense of everything and everyone involved. Feel the mixture of feelings you're feeling about this, a little excitement, a little bit of concern. And as you're feeling that mixture of excitement and concern, that's usually a good mix, by the way. It's indicating that this is part of a good growth path for you. Think of a kind of person who would have very little trouble dealing with that particular scenario. Imagine how it would feel to be a person with absolutely no fear about this kind of exciting possibility. How it would feel to just go on with regular activities, feeling perfectly relaxed. Imagine you can see yourself benefiting from this possible you. Know that you're gaining new inspiration and strength to face whatever comes your way. Think of the wonderful possibilities that you'd really love to happen. And imagine how you'll feel and how you'll respond and move. And the friends that you'll be working with, the people that you'll be coordinating with as this unfolds. Imagine you are the person whose dreams are coming true. And just by contemplating it, you're inviting this possible reality to you with the strength, the courage, the confidence, the creativity, and the connection to this very empowered possible you to guide you through every step of the way. Know that you can relax, and as you just clear your mind, focusing again on your slow, deep breathing, know that you are now aligned with this possible version of yourself. And that as you come out of this meditation very slowly, opening your eyes, that you're now bringing this quality into your life. You can feel yourself. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Is there anything you just want to add before we go to the break?
Well, I think the thing I love to add to everything I do is, and if you can add this to every part of your daily life, ask it as much as you can. It's a very simple question. How good can it get? Really feel it. And as you're doing this deep breathing, allow yourself to feel that you need to know the answer to that. You need to know how good your life can get. Maybe it doesn't need to be such a struggle in daily life. Maybe you can simplify. Maybe there are more friends, more connections, more opportunities than you ever imagined. Maybe things can be more along the lines of your best dreams.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with transformational speaker, author, and founder of the Reality Shifters website and newsletter, Cynthia Sue Larson, about quantum jumping. After the break, time loops, time shifts, and time traveling to the past and the future. Stay tuned.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Cynthia Sue Larson, there's a great article on your website about time travel to the past and the future, time loops, and time shift experiences, which you say, you know, these are not only theoretically possible, but they actually do occur. Tell us a bit about
this. Yes, they really do occur. And I think that's the, again, this idea that things that sound impossible can be quite common is a good thing to keep in mind, because in cultures, for example, where they've got words such as vardager, which means to see someone before they arrive, it's expected that in Norway, for example, you might hear the stomping of people's boots on the front porch and happy chatter as they're arriving, and then you're not that surprised when you open the front door and there's no one there, no footprints, it's just fresh fallen snow, no sign of anybody having stomped to their boots, and you can tell because the snow is there. But they have a word for it. And I think the reason I introduced the subject with that is because I want people to know that the more we talk about these things, the more we can experience them also. And there is basically this idea that on my website, realityshifters.com, that we can experience an event from the past or future in the present moment. We can influence past and future events. We can experience loops in time in which a sequence of events repeats, and we can experience all sorts of other types of reality shifts involving time. So time shifting is then a relatively new term for us in the West, outside of these cultures where they have words for it, which describes the ancient phenomenon observed by shamans, yogis, and other spiritual adepts who can have these experiences with time loops, time travel, and even retrocausality, where we can change the past. And there are a number of experiences on this webpage you mentioned, such as time travel to the past, time travel to the future, time loops, retrocausality, and time stopping. And it's so many of these that I've been sharing through my newsletter and through my website over basically the past, it's quite a while now. It's going on 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's something that I like people to know. It's enjoyable when it happens. It doesn't need to be terrifying. These are subjects that often you might see them in paranormal thrillers and so forth. But I find that most of the times that I've experienced these things, it's been sort of fun, at least in a sense, you know, that it's been exciting. And there's often been a spiritual quality for me where I've been able to benefit in that moment from recognizing, for example, that there can be, a benefit when time slows to a stop. That's been extremely helpful for me because a couple of times I almost experienced my babies landing headfirst on hard surfaces. And thank goodness time did slow to a stop, because then I had plenty of time, because it didn't stop for me, to be able to rescue, to jump to action and prevent a disaster from occurring.
You know, I've had a real experience of what I call time warping, when I knew how long it would take me to get from Las Vegas back to Phoenix. And, it was between 5.5 and 6 hours, and I got caught in, there was a big accident and a tailback, with helicopters coming in to move people. And I was in that queue for about an hour, and I still made it back in less than the normal time that it would take me.
Right.
That was a very real and difficult to explain experience. But, there have been times when I've experienced what I refer to as time slips, and they're momentary. It's almost as if you go for a moment, go into a place, almost as if you're going to sleep, but you're not, because you're fully awake and standing. And then you come back a few seconds later, but you come back with a bit of a memory of having been somewhere else. Do you know anything
about that? Well, this is what I would consider that we were talking about the steps in making a quantum jump, and we covered the first one, which is getting to that very relaxed, detached state of mind. And I believe that anytime we do that, you can do this when you're driving. And so this is another one of the most typical types of reality shifts, is people traveling farther in less time than it should possibly have taken, sometimes half the time, doing a cross-country 9-hour drive in 4 hours without speeding, these kind of things. And I think it is happening because we are in that relaxed, detached, peaceful, altered state of mind. That is the first step. And if you meditate a lot, you can get there faster. And then the next step in quantum jumping is just to feel energized, which we often also do. Sometimes when it's a natural thing, if you're just positively daydreaming and thinking about something you'd enjoy, like getting home quicker and so forth. But in your case, you're asking specifically, it's like that daydream, and you're sort of in another, you're viewing another possible reality, sometimes with a great deal of excitement, a real sense of charged energy and a rush of that, you know, that energy rush you get where you get goosebumps and mm-hmm. that happy feeling. That's step two, just feeling energized. And then step three would be when you come out of that reverie, that daydream, following it up by taking positive action in keeping with this new reality. And so that means if you've had a daydream, I think most people listening know exactly what you're talking about. You're in that beautiful daydream state. You sort of glimpse something that seems possible. And it depends on how you're feeling and what that is that you saw. Sometimes it's a mixed feeling. Sometimes it's all good. But no matter what it is, know that you can respond to it emotionally, energetically, and you can absolutely change the next things that unfold in your life. It takes a certain degree of faith because, as you were pointing out many times through the show, we may not have much in the way of evidence to show we're quantum jumping. We may try to tell our family members and friends what just happened, and to us it can seem quite real. Other people may just think, ho-hum, that looks normal. But like you said, when you're traveling farther in less time, and some of these things, there's no way to explain what happened. Mm-hmm. And you know it when you went through it. And in the
yes.
case, know for sure, that was real. And then you come back with the knowledge, the benefit, the confidence, the know-how, the experience of that. You might be coming back with the ability to do something that you never had before. And I've brought that back to my work life where I've had legal skills that I never had legal training for. I've gotten on stage and played the drums when I never studied the drums, and I played through a whole song as if I was a drummer. You know, so these are things we can all do, and it's just fun to know that you can get into that reverie, and if you're feeling called to become a painter or to move into that, I don't know what your experience was, but whatever it was, you can run with it. And knowing you, you probably did.
Well, I think I was just marveling at it at the time. But yes, you're absolutely right. And we hear about authors, you know, saying that when I want inspiration, you know, I basically connect with their famous author who may be long dead and channel them.
Right. Yeah, authors are great at this. Some of the authors that, and myself included, when things are really moving with a book or a story, it's almost like the book is writing itself because
yes.
the characters or the voice of the book is it is like it's channeling, like it has something it wants to say, and it's almost like you're reading a future version of that book and just going about the process of putting it down onto paper now. It can be a struggle in that process, absolutely. You know, in terms of choosing exactly the right words, and if you're a perfectionist, then absolutely there's effort. I was just talking to Jean Houston about that. She's so funny. She was saying mm-hmm. that it's always a big struggle. But anyway, but it doesn't have to be a complete struggle. And a lot of authors do experience that it just flows, that it's like the character is speaking through them. Or like when I wrote my book, Reality Shifts, I really love Michael Talbot's Holographic Universe book. And so I was mm-hmm. definitely not so much channeling, but like talking with Michael through the writing of the entire book. Like, what do you think about this? Oh, good. I love that idea. Let's do that. It really does help.
Before we close, you report that entire new branches of sciences now include quantum weirdness, with researchers studying quantum chemistry and biology, quantum statistics, quantum astronomy, and many other aspects of quantum effects. What are the latest findings?
Well, some of the ones that I find most important and relevant, and I've got some of them in the book, Quantum Jumps, have to do with quantum biology. This has to do with the fact that, as you were saying and suggesting, we're now noticing that there's a quantum element to all of our sciences. And when you look at biology, you can see, for example, that plants are doing things that our computers would like to be able to do, or we, you know, computer scientists would love our computers to be that effective and that efficient and be able to do what plants can do, which is to basically photosynthesize with 95% efficiency rates for transforming sunlight, which are quantum particles, into energy that they can use. Now, our best photovoltaic cells, by comparison, are only 20% efficient. So when we look at nature, what we're seeing is that everywhere we look, we're finding that there's quantum process going on. The reason I'm mentioning photosynthesis is because it's the first absolutely airtight proven case that what's happening there is quantum coherence and a quantum random walk contributing to this tremendous efficiency. And that was proven through MIT's Seth Lloyd, who, when he first heard about quantum biology and that plants might be using quantum processing in room temperature, warm, wet, noisy environments, he, like so many others, was scoffing and saying, well, that sounds impossible. We all know that quantum processes require, like with our computers, they need very specialized environments. So it needs to be like a super cooled environment. That's why the quantum computers right now are working with sort of like they're in a refrigerator environment. But plants don't need refrigeration. They're doing it right there in nature. And so I think that's evidence for all of us. That
Cynthia Sue Lawson, we're out of time now. I just want to say to you, I've been following your work for 18 years and I've never been disappointed. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Quantum Jumps, An Extraordinary Science of Happiness and Prosperity is available on Amazon and at realityshifters.com, where you can also sign up for Cynthia Sue Larson's newsletter and learn more about her books and her work. You've been listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.